Hi, I'm Matilda Feishayo Ibini. I am a Black woman in her 30s. I wear glasses. I'm wearing a blue African print bonnet and wearing a blue t-shirt. And behind me, you can see a very bright window, posters on the wall, and maybe the corners of my hoist. I am a bionic playwright and screenwriter based in East London.
Amazing. What a great intro. I'm really interested in how you found keeping a touch diary and keeping a record of your touch.
It was a very interesting ask, actually, because I'd never thought about a touch diary. And actually, I was kind of intrigued. What does that mean? How do you define a touch diary? And then as someone who is touched very frequently, like every day as part of my literal existence, I was like, I imagine this is going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot to log. So I was actually trying to figure out how could I do this economically, if I could just sum it up into what that action is of the touch. What is the touch doing almost, I think, was my focus as I was logging. It was really interesting just to see how so much of that touch is survival. Like, I need to be touched to live.
Yeah, it was really interesting reading your touch diary because lots of it felt very familiar to the sort of touch I need for survival too. But I think when I started to keep a touch diary, I was quite focused on, I have some challenging behaviours and I was quite focused on touch around them and thinking that was a huge part of my day and my week. And actually when I kept a touch diary, I was then really intrigued and surprised by how often I was touched and also how much it unlocked in my life and how much of that was survival and how much of that was about the quality of my life and what was possible. Was there anything that surprised you about paying attention to touch in that way?
Yeah, actually, I think one of the surprising things was how often, irrespective of like the quality of the touch or what the touch was for, what was really interesting is how often I feel pain. So I experience chronic pain and I manage it with pain meds, but when I was doing this touch diary, I realized like my pain meds don't necessarily take away the pain, but they lessen it to a level where I can almost function. And so I kept quite frequently when asked, how does this touch make you feel? Or what did you feel? I kept writing pain, but it wasn't pain from the touch. It was pain that just always is there. So I found that really interesting. Almost by doing the touch diary also helped me acknowledge some kind of invisible pain diary that I don't keep.
One of the things that your diary made me think of was around the sort of rhythm of pain sometimes in relation to medication and how those rhythms, the rhythms of touch and sort of routine and meds and routine and pain and routine all form a sort of web.
Yeah, I totally relate because actually existing in this body, I often feel unsafe. Like my body cannot do things that non-disabled people can do. So when I have good care and when I have that kind of respectful touch, that awareness of the limitations of my body, I then feel safe within my body. When I've got carers and PAs who understand my body, I feel a level of kind of inner peace, inner safety in my body.
I was really interested in your relationship with equipment and aids. In your touch diary, you mentioned a few, and I was interested particularly in your feelings in relationship to them.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the reasons why I describe myself as bionic or like a bionic writer. It doesn't just describe my present situation, but my historic relationship with equipment, that I've always needed some kind of equipment adaptation or physical mobility aid to move around in the world, to just be. So I feel like I've lived quite a bionic life. And not to say that my relationship to that equipment has always been really clear and straightforward. No, it's been very complicated. Like, you know, not using leg splints because I didn't like their color, not using my hospital grade crutches because I didn't like their colors. So I went out of my way to buy crutches that match my laces. The first time that I got my power wheelchair, I didn't sit in it for quite a while because I was so conscious of like, oh no, this is another stage or progression of my condition. And now I'm even more visibly disabled. I've spent so long of my life trying to because of internalized ableism, but also survival, I've been trying to appear almost past as non-disabled, essentially, that I'm non-disabled, but with a limp. I'm non-disabled, but with a crutch. And all of a sudden now I was dependent on a wheelchair. I'd use it at home, but then I wouldn't go out because I wasn't able to walk when I was out. It's almost, I've had to go through these stages of acceptance. And even, for example, like using the hoist, I used to hate being hoisted, not just because it was uncomfortable, but just this idea that I've got legs, they're still there. It was really frustrating. And now I love my hoist. Like, I can't imagine life without it, because it's what enables me to have the kind of life that I live. I know for a fact that I would have benefited from a wheelchair much earlier than I actually got one. And that might have prevented a lot of different difficulties I'd faced had the people around me not been pushing me to keep doing physio, or you want to maintain the muscles in your legs, yada, 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 but actually was at the detriment of my mental health, because you were pushing my body to do things it couldn't do, but my mind was saying, do it, just keep going, just keep trying, until it was like a breaking point.
That's interesting in relation to care, because lots of that comes from a place of intense care mixed in with ableism and fear and very medical understandings. You can't just understand bodies from a medical point of view, because they exist in a social and emotional world. But when it comes to disability, there's so much emphasis on medicine and on looking to health professionals for answers, which they're also really keen to give, but I don't think we'll always have the full picture.
Are there touch experiences that you really like or you really value?
Yeah, so I'm not good at makeup or even the concept of makeup, but I have a few carers who are pretty damn good at it. So when I feel nervous about having to go somewhere and they're able to kind of like make me feel a little bit at ease by doing my makeup, I really like that. Or when they're hair care treatments, so whether it's like washing my hair or detangling it or moisturizing my scalp, like those things often feel really soothing. They're very gentle and there's tenderness I feel through it, and again I still feel respected when they're doing it as well.
A negative touch, or not being able to move away from touch that is uncomfortable, or having people in your home where that doesn't feel comfortable, it is complicated and challenging and can just be all consuming, and it can totally destabilize things. It's something that lots of non-disabled people don't necessarily have the language to understand or to talk about, so it can feel quite lonely, I think.
And also a lack of imagination. I go on about this a lot, about how society, school, education tries to drum out imagination out of us. When we become adults, we should not dream, aspire, think outside the box, imagine, creatively problem solve. And so for me, it makes sense as to why non-disabled people feel such a fear around disability, care, the idea of touch. Like, oh my God, they clean your bum. It's like, yes, just like your mum or parent or guardian did when you were a child. Like, it's not that different. Like, they do it in a way that's respectful, and it still allows you to be a whole dynamic person. That's like the go-to one I'm always hearing. Like, they see you naked? Yes, that's their job, but they're really good at it.
And it's their job and they're doing it every day, so it doesn't feel the same.
Yeah.
It's not like being on Naked Attraction or any of those game shows where there's like a spotlight and a buzzer and a load of judgment. It's like, you just are trying to get clean.
You know? And they make sure I'm colour coordinated, you know?